Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game, Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser here with you. I want to pass this along real quick. The Nashville Sounds taking on the Memphis Redbirds. They were scheduled today. That game has been postponed, weather moving into the Memphis area. And so they will do a doubleheader tomorrow between Memphis. That, of course, can be heard on 94.9 The Fan, our sister station. But just wanted to pass that along real quick as the Redbirds have put that out there in the Sounds as well. We say hello to Richard Deitch of The Athletic and a fellow wrestling fan, and I'm always excited to talk that with him. Richard, how are you?
Morning.
I'm good. Good morning.
So I want to start with that, with the you know, you cover the media and know all about that and TV deals. The blockbuster announcement that WWE and UFC will merge, Endeavor buying 51% of WWE, Vince McMahon, you know, somehow, some way comes out smelling like a rose and continues to keep some power within WWE. But what does this mean moving forward as WWE will start their next media rights deal, whether it's to stay with Fox and USA like they currently have, or to grow that? How is this going to affect those negotiations?
Well, first off, it means that a lot of rich white dudes just got richer. But and that's not exactly a new story in the United States. It's going to be interesting because a lot of this deal and the valuation of this deal is based on the assumption, and by the way, it could be a correct assumption, that WWE can sell Raw and SmackDown for a significant premium, either to their existing partners, which are right now Fox for SmackDown, and Comcast, NBC, Peacock for Raw. And so and I'm sure Endeavor's sort of thought process is that we can really get a very big number for that. And they might. I mean, the world of television today is such that sports or some kind of live programming is really the only thing that's destination viewing for viewers. Like, you have to watch. You can't time delay it the way you could time delay The Mandalorian or Yellow Jackets or something like that. So that's sort of part one. The UFC also will be coming up for bid. Right now it has a big deal with Disney in terms of the pay-per-views and stuff. And again, that will be somebody will want that, and somebody will want that at a significant price. So there's a lot of money to be made there. The interesting about this one is just how they're, you know, whatever the combination of this company is, how they can leverage sort of each other's brands. And from, you know, what I've read and, you know, some of the people I've talked to, like, a lot of the thought process is just one of Endeavor's strengths is the ability to, like, create marketing deals or to sort of place stars in situations where money could be made. So, for example, like, you know, if you really did it right, like, maybe Roman Reigns is, like, the next superhero action, you know, Marvel kind of, like, movie product. And that's something like that Endeavor, which is a massive talent agency with, you know, a lot of tentacles, can do. So it's a pretty interesting merger. Vince McMahon comes out looking incredible because the amount of money he'll make on this merger is just astronomical.
Unreal.
Yeah, if you're a wrestling fan, though, the only thing I would caution here, and we already saw a little bit of this on Raw,
yep,
is if Vince McMahon is too deep in the creative, I think that's very, very bad for the product. The product's not going to fold, don't get me wrong, and you know, it's not going to be irrevocable, but I do think it's pretty clear, at least in my opinion, that the kind of product passed him by, and with Paul Levesque, Triple H in that chair, the product has had an incredible year. Bloodline storyline is arguably the best storyline in the history of wrestling, and I think Vince, just given his age and given his sort of sensibilities, I don't think he has a great year anymore for what the wrestling public wants. So that would be my only sort of thought here, is that if he has a very significant role in creative, I don't think that's good for the business. What does that mean for the bottom line? Probably not much, because, like, ultimately I think wrestling will be around long after we're gone, and I think the product will be there.
Well, Richard, basketball season, you know, just finished up, and a lot of heads turned this past weekend because of the amount of numbers that the Women's Basketball National Championship got and the Final Four as a whole, you know, how much do you play in that the numbers have been slowly but steady increasing over the last couple of years just based off of ESPN's investment in women's basketball? And how much do you put it on, you know, star players like a Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, it's both. And by the way, you have a very good coach at Tennessee in Kelly Harper, who I think – I almost said Kelly Jolly.
Kelly Harper, yeah.
I think I see Tennessee heading back as a traditional top 15 power. I don't know if they'll be top five. That's very hard to do in the women's game today. But they'll be back in terms of just competitiveness and things like that. It's honestly a combination of both, at least from my perspective. If you look at the numbers, the viewership numbers, they've been growing steadily now for a while. Title game's gone up since 2018. But what really changed is ESPN, and I give them a lot of credit here, they made an investment in terms of getting the tournament itself into better television windows. So they decided to put every game on, where once upon a time this was all regionalized. You can now see every game. That's huge. And the second big thing they did is they play some of these games on ABC during the tournament. So you'll get like an Elite Eight or a Sweet 16 game on ABC as opposed to ESPN or ESPN2. Your audience may not think that makes a difference, but it honestly does. ABC, NBC, CBS, these are still in 100 million households, where cable, like ESPN, is only in 70 million or so. So just the audience, you know, your ability to get that much more of an audience is so much greater if you put this stuff on ABC. And the women's title game this year was on ABC. And you saw, obviously, the incredible number that they got, 9.9 million. So that's part of it. The second part of it is, and I think you, when you mentioned star players, you're absolutely right. Caitlin Clark during this tournament just became like part of the larger sports conversation where casual fans have heard of her. If you want to, like, the reason why, we could do an entire like show on this. Obviously, I think people can relate. People can relate to the fact that she's a long distance shooter like Steph Curry. She doesn't play above the rim. She plays below the rim. And I think people appreciate that. She's a singular star on a team that was going up against the dynastic team in South Carolina. I think everybody loves the narrative of a shooter trying to take down like this dynasty team. Undoubtedly, there's no doubt that like a incredible white player from the Midwest has a certain appeal, I think, for a lot of Midwestern basketball fans. I think you'd just be naive not to think that that's not a part of it as well. And then just the rest of the sport just has so many stars, whether it's Paige Beckers or Angel Reese or Haley Van Lith, and, you know, just sort of the list goes on and on. And the women's game really benefits from the fact that these players will stay for 4 or 5 years. So every year, like, you get accustomed to the story that happened the year before. Where in men's college basketball, you know, you have someone like Zion Williamson or something like that. They stay for 1 year and they're gone. It's just, you know, it's a different sport. And in the women's game, you have the same stars who can come back. And now, and this is the last thing I would say, is just the good news about all this is these guys can make a lot of money now in college because the name, image, and likeness. And so there's like an economic incentive in many ways for them to stay in college and just make a ton of money. Because in the star players in college, women's college basketball, can make more money than they will in their first year in the WNBA. So they should stay for economic reasons.
So I like the point that you just brought up there, Richard, on ESPN making the investment in women's basketball and putting them on, you know, in ABC. Because I feel like the argument for so long was, well, the reason that they're not on prime time or they're not on an ABC is because the audience isn't there. And I think over the last couple of years, we've seen that, well, there is an audience if you give it the opportunity to go up against some of these other big sports. So my question for you is, in the future, do you think that we will be seeing more regular season women's basketball games be offered the opportunity to be on a prime time? Or, for example, you know, ESPN had the College Game Day crew with Ellen Duncan and a bunch of other people this year going to some of their games. Do you think that that will continue and also increase?
Absolutely. And again, like, there's a wise person who once said, the answer to all your questions is money. Yeah. Like, that's true. Like, that's the answer to all the questions. Like, there's economic and financial incentive for ESPN to do this. They just made a ton of money, trust me, on the women's Final Four, given these viewership numbers, and they've paid nothing for it, essentially, because the NCAA, in its infinite lunacy, has always put the women's tournament with all these other NCAA championships that are not football or men's basketball. So ESPN gets all these championships like around $40 million annually. That's an incredible deal. The women's tournament itself is worth probably, I would say now with this viewership, it's not worth it's probably $100 million property. So yeah, I'll give you something for you and your listeners just to sort of, if you're interested in this, to pay attention to, because I guarantee this will happen next year. So the Big Ten signed a gigantic deal with Fox, NBC, and CBS to put obviously their football games on those networks. ESPN is shut out on this. Mm-hmm. Part of that package is basketball. Fox Sports, in particular, next year has a ton of men's and women's basketball inventory. And I guarantee at some point during next year, Fox will put an Iowa game, if not multiple Iowa games, on Big Fox. I'm talking the women, because they have now seen that Caitlin Clark clearly can draw millions of people to a television, and I think they will put Iowa women's basketball against a pretty, you know, whoever like a decent team is, whether it's like a Michigan or something like that, they'll put that game on Big Fox, and you will see millions of people watch that game. And that's a perfect example of what you're talking about. That's an example of placing the product on a major over-the-air network, and then you will see viewers go. It's just simple economics. Like, you know, the United States is made up of whatever it is, 50-51% women, right? It's just there's a massive amount of money at the table, and if you can promote women's sports to the point where you can make money on it, you're just not doing your due diligence as an executive to not make this happen.
He is Richard Deitch of The Athletic. You can read his work there. Richard, always great to talk to you about everything going on in the media. And what you said about Vince, I 100% agree. Stay at a creative, because Trips is doing a good job.
Yes,
I know.
Thank you.
You know, yeah, we didn't get to talk about the Titans or anything else, but we'll do that down the road.
Oh, we will. Absolutely, Richard. Thanks so much.
See you guys.
Richard Deitch of The Athletic joining us here on the program. You can read his work at The Athletic. He's in tune. That's your first time talking to him, and I told you you would like him. So we will talk to Richard more throughout the year for sure. But coming up next, we'll put a bow on things. We've hit on a lot of stuff today, and so we'll recap some of that coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.